would just extend that just a little while longer. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of worship tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. As our ushers come, we're going to go ahead and receive our evening tithes and offering. Praise God. If God has been blessing you, praise God. And now it's an opportunity for you to give back tonight. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your many benefits, Lord, that you give us today. Lord, we just pray tonight, Lord, for the needs of this offering. We pray tonight, Lord, that you'll touch each home, each family, each individual tonight, Lord. We pray that you'll bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God.
So good to be in service on a Wednesday night. I'm glad you're here. Without you, we wouldn't have church. Amen. Thank you. Well, we'd have church, but it'd be lonely. But we're glad you're here. Amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. I do want to say something right quick before we get into our lesson tonight. I'll mention this again on Sunday when everyone's here. But a special thank you for giving towards the Columbia, Spain project. We raised $11,450. We thank God for that tonight. God is good. Amen. As I told you, we'll split this down the middle, and each will receive half of these funds, and we'll be sending this off in the morning to St. Charles, Missouri, where our headquarters is for the United Pentecostal Church, and they will distribute the funds to them. I had spoke to Brother Guidry, the missionary to Columbia, yesterday. And I'm thankful because of your giving. It'll pay off their land. It'll help put up walls, put up a ceiling in their place. We thank God for that. That's an awesome thing. Amen. Amen. It'll also help with some more projects they have in Columbia. I trust him. My wife and I spent time there in 2019 with him and his wife. They're great, great people. And they'll do well with our funds. So we thank you again for your giving. God bless you for giving. And God honors giving. And if you couldn't give this time, give next time. It's okay, amen. Every dollar counts. Man, I've said it 10 times, but we pay so we can stay. We give dough so they can go. Amen. If you don't want to go, we'll give some dough. Amen. And God may call you over there. Amen. Amen. God is so good. Again, welcome tonight to church. We are turning to Genesis chapter 22. I apologize. Our projectors are acting up tonight, so we don't have those on the screen. But if you have your Bible, either in your hand or your phone, however you want to do it, it's fine. If not, hope you trust me to read it. Genesis chapter 22, I'm reading tonight from the New King James Version, and I'm reading verses 1 through 14. The Bible is speaking here of the Lord. He's talking to Abraham about sacrificing his son Isaac. And the scripture says that it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of a son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. I want to speak to us tonight on simply blessings that only come through obedience. Blessings that only come through obedience. Why don't we pray? Lord, I love you. I thank you for your spirit that's in this room. Thank you for this great group of believers that's gathered together on a midweek, God. I know we have work tomorrow, but I pray help us for the next 30 minutes just to somehow, God, gather some fresh bread. I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost would use me tonight. I'm nothing without you, God. Bless these sweet people, God. Talk to us in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. You may be seated. Amen. The blessing that only comes through obedience. Here some while ago, I spoke to you about spiritual maturity, and this kind of tags in with that. And I want to talk to us tonight about the side of God that reflects a maturing saint, a maturing Christian. This is something that all of us should pursue and be pursuing until our race on earth has ended, and that is, again, blessings that only come through obedience. Obedience to God through His Word is foundational. I'll say this multiple times, but obedience to God through His Word is foundational for anyone desiring to become a mature saint of God. I'm going to read several scriptures tonight, and I'll start with Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 2, and you'll see that God is serious about obedience. In this book of Deuteronomy, which was written by Moses, God is speaking to Israel, and this same principle applies even to us today, since we now know that you and I, as we're called Gentiles in Scripture, we now make up the spiritual house of Israel. God said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, I'm reading from the New King James. He said, "It shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth." He said, as a result of you obeying, verse 2 says, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Again, obedience to God through His Word, everyone said, is foundational. Here are a few verses that further prove the importance of obeying all of what God is saying. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, most of these I'll read from the NIV. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." James would write and tell us in his book of James chapter 1 and verse 22, he said, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." Writer of Proverbs in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 said, "My son," or my daughter, "do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." Joshua was speaking to Israel, and he said to them in chapter 1 of verse 8 in the book of Joshua, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then," this is the blessing, "you will be prosperous and successful." 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, Samuel said, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings?" Again, this is Old Testament, but the principle applies to us today. "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord?" It's a famous verse, we quote it, "To obey the Lord is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. He said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet the blessing is, it did not fall because it had a foundation that was on a rock." I want to repeat it again. Obedience to God's word is the foundation to maturing in Christ. I've said this before, but if you'll allow me again tonight, I got the mic, so please allow me to say so. Amen. That it really doesn't matter, and this is not a knock on anyone who has served the Lord for many years. I was raised all my life, so for 40 years, pretty much all I've known is church, the apostolic faith, and some of you have been serving the Lord for 50, 60, maybe 70 years, I don't know, but it's important we remember that the number of years you've been coming to church and the number of years you've been filling a pew, that does not equate to a mature Christian. Amen? Amen. It matters. And even, and I'll say it, and I'm going to I'll be real slow tonight, I think, but it's important we know that just because you come to the front of a church or maybe in your pew and the Lord blesses you, and that's a Pentecostal maybe term. When I say blesses you, I mean perhaps the Spirit of God moves on you in a powerful way, and you, man, the Holy Ghost just touches you, and you can't control your tongue. The Spirit of God's moving through you. You're speaking in other tongues, and God, man, what a great feeling that is, amen, and God blesses you. That's beautiful. That's wonderful, but that does not mean you're mature in Christ. Amen. What begins to know, what begins to be the telltale sign of a mature saint, of a mature Christian, is obedience to His Word. That is the foundation of maturing in Christ. There are blessings that only come through obedience to God's Word. Complete obedience to God's Word. Everyone said complete. And I've met lots of partial obedient people, but that does not mean you're mature. But complete obedience to God's Word is a sign that you and I are maturing in Christ. Let's look at some people tonight who were and are examples in Scripture who learned the value of obedience. And through obedience, unbeknownst to them, lots of times there was blessings that flowed as a result of their obedience. I felt this a couple of times. Let me hit this in the head right quick. Don't ever mistake God. God is not a vending machine. Okay, it's not like, well, if I give a car, God's got to give me a Mercedes. That's hilarious. It's not if I give $50, well, then the genie in the bottle gives $500. That's not how God operates. I mean, this is not a get rich type deal with God. Amen. God blesses us to give. Amen. God allows us to have health to work. God allows us to have finance in the bank. And I don't have time to teach on stewardship tonight, but God allows us, and He expects us to be good stewards of our money. And as a result of being good stewards of our money, it allows us to be able to give. Amen. Not just to church, to whatever it could be in your life that God has blessed you with. And that's awesome. God gives us resources. But don't mistake that as somehow, if I give, God has to give back. That's not how God operates. Now, God will give back. God does bless us multiple times over. Amen. But we shouldn't live our lives thinking that God is somehow a vending machine. Amen. That God, if I give in, God gives back. No, that's not how God operates. So don't get caught up in that jazz about if I give, God has to give back. No, that's not how God operates. Amen. So The main thing is understanding that complete obedience to God's Word, again, is a sign that you're maturing in Christ. And here's a few people tonight that were examples of this. Of course, in our text tonight in Genesis 22, we read of the man Abraham, who God told him. You talk about a very difficult day in his life. When we talk it over in the sweet by and by, I really want to talk to Abraham about this, how it must have felt to take his promised child Isaac and to be told by God, not promising him anything on the other side. You and I get to read the end of Genesis 22, but he didn't have that privilege. And to be told to take his one and only son, the promised child, the one that God said that many nations would come out. And Abraham had two choices in that moment. Obedience or disobedience. God was testing Abraham's faith in the moment. But Abraham, as we read along, was mature in God. And he had learned to trust God from the outset, from being an older man, being told by God to leave everything he ever knew and just to trust Him. He had learned to trust God regardless of what God asked him to do. So thankfully, in obedience, Sister Mallory, he took his one and only promised son, believing that God would somehow provide a sacrifice. And God watched Abraham as he took his son up the mountain and placed him on the altar and put wood on top of him. And God watched as he lifted the knife to kill his one and only son. And God steps in verse 12 of Genesis chapter 22, as we already read, and he told Abraham, the Lord sent an angel and said, do not touch the lad. Don't even touching. There's a ram in the bush. And of course, Abraham calls the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is our provider. And God told Abraham, I see your obedience. And as a result, if you'll continue reading in Genesis chapter 22, as a result of him obeying God, the blessings begin to flow. In verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself, the Lord is speaking. I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing. What has he done? He's been obedient. Because you've been obedient and because you have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That's you and I tonight, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. God was showing Abraham, and it's a testimony to you and I in 2026, that there are some blessings that will only flow to you that come as a result of your obedience to God. Again, I repeat, obedience is foundational. Paul said in Romans 12, we can no doubt quote this, I urge you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Or King James says, this is just something you do. It's a reasonable service. Well, how do I offer my body as a living sacrifice? You offer your body as a living sacrifice by simply, completely obeying his word. Noah is a prime example of somebody who saw the blessings of God through his obedience. He obeyed God's command to build an ark and to gather animals. And as a result, he and his family were saved from the floods. His kids, no doubt, Brother Jones, had days where they didn't know why Dad was into this building the ark kind of stuff. There were no doubt days when they griped about being dragged to the ark to help Dad again. But when the rain started falling, I assure you tonight, they no doubt went to Dad and said, thank you, Dad, for building the ark. Thank you, Dad, for obeying the voice of God. And you hear this preacher tonight, there will come a day, you hear me, there, your kids may fight you now to come to church. They may fight you now because you won't let them do this, won't let them do that because Dad's being hard. But you just hear me, if you'll stay biblically centered, if you'll stay in the book, if you'll just obey the word of the Lord, there'll come a day where they thank you for building the ark of safety in your home in years to come. We need people in the 21st century who are not afraid to stand up for what is right and say, I believe by our obedience, blessings will flow in our home, blessings will flow to my kids. In Joshua, in the Battle of Jericho, in Joshua 6, his obedience to God's unconventional strategy, it led to the walls of Jericho collapsing, allowing the Israelites, which was a blessing, to conquer that city. Ruth's obedience to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and her humble work in the fields, it led to a great blessing of her meeting that man, Boaz, who later became her husband and provided for her. And not only that, but we know that Jesus Christ is in the lineage of Boaz because of Ruth's obedience. That's what happens when you start obeying God. Generational blessings start coming out of your bloodline. There's things that begin to be set in motion by you simply obeying the word of the Lord. There's that man Elijah, and he's dealing with that widow in Zarephath, and it was her obedience to share her last meal with the man of God, Elijah, that resulted in God miraculously providing an unending supply of flour and oil during the time of famine. You understand if you read that text that it wasn't just her she was trying to provide for, but she had a little boy at home, and she had already told the prophet of God, "Don't you know, man, I've just got enough left for me and my son, and then we're both going to die. Don't you see that I've got nothing left?" But God wasn't trying to exalt some man in her eyes. He was trying to see, would she be obedient to what I'm trying to get through to her, that sometimes, even though it doesn't make sense, even though it doesn't seem right, even though it don't even feel right, don't hurt someone, you've hurt it all your life, well, just trust your heart. Do not trust your heart. The Bible says it's deceitful above all things, but we trust the leading of the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us. How do we trust the leading of the Spirit? We don't just trust Him through prayer. We trust Him by filtering everything through the Word of the Lord. And then while we're obedient to the Word of the Lord, things begin to make sense. And because she was obedient, not only did her and her boy survive one day, but they survived the entire famine. That's what happens when you start obeying the Lord and you just step out and move with God. If you'll move with God, God will always move ahead of you, and He'll have a way provided for you. Amen. Everyone said obedience is foundational. Here's a portion of Scripture that shows us blessings that come through obedience. I wasn't long ago, and I sometimes get in these, anyone besides me ever get in weird moods? Has your spouse or your significant other ever said, "Man, you're in a weird mood today"? Anybody? Amen. We all have those days, and we have them spiritually a whole lot more than we want to admit probably sometimes, where I'm just in a complaining mood to God or whatever it is. And there's times I'll complain to God about whatever I don't think's fair, okay? And I had a man of God who, you can ask my wife, it seems like any time I'm going through something, it's like he has a secret speaker in my bedroom that he listens to me pray and he hears everything I say. Because this man of God, he called me, it wasn't long ago, and he said, "Hey," he said, "I got up this morning, you're on my mind." And I thought, well, that's good. What's going on over there? And he said, "Well," he said, "I just felt to tell you that you need to start thanking God for what you got." I thought, oh, God. He said, "You just need to be thankful for the blessings that's in front of you right now, son. God's been good to you." I said, "Oh, my God, I know all that." And it's like, okay, God, what else do you see up in this alley? What is He doing over there? But what I'm trying to tell you is this, is that the Lord, if we're not careful sometimes, we can miss out on some of the greatest blessings right under our nose. We're obedient to God, and we're thinking future blessings, and God says, "Hey, don't you forget what's right in front of you right now." I mean, I was in the prayer room the night, and it just came out of me about we best not forget His daily benefits, His daily blessings. That, now this is going to sound crazy, I know, but thank God you had toothpaste this morning. Thank God you had a toothbrush, because your wife and your coworkers, thank God for you today. You put Listerine in your mouth and you smell good when you walk in the office. You put some cologne on. You had some soap to take a bath with. You had something in the fridge when you got up. You had some milk. You had some. Well, that's little blessings. I know it's little blessings, but God can't trust you with big if God can't see you be thankful over the little. Thank you, God, for blessing me. Thank you, God, for every little thing. Amen. I was thinking this morning yesterday, I was texting the missionary, and I was again this morning at the house thinking about how thankful I was that you so graciously gave to these two countries and their efforts and what they're trying to accomplish. And I was just curious and looking at what the salary is in Colombia, South America, and it's incredible that their average salary per month is $540 U.S. dollars. That's the average what everyone makes. And I thought, man, we are a blessed people. We are a people who don't even realize sometimes. There's folks in this house that make that in one day and 1 hour. Thank God for His blessings on you and your family. If you make it in a week, you're doing better than folks overseas. Thank the Lord for His blessings on us. And this is where God always, like, He has a sense of humor. Like, if I complain, He has a way of, like, shooting a dart at me, and it's called the word of the Lord, and it just pricks my heart. And when I worry about things I can't fix, or when I worry about things that I think should be done, or this ain't right, or whatever, the Lord just speaks and tells us in Matthew 6, you've heard it all your life. Therefore, Jesus said, do not worry about your life. How many besides me have ever stressed over your future? How many, let me just get real honest. How many besides me have done 50,000, maybe not all of you, but 50,000 times I've thought, well, if I invest this in this much, this here, this much, over 30 years, Dave Ramsey says, I know Dave ain't God, but he's a pretty cool dude. And so if you do this, this is the return you'll get. And when I'm having moments, the Lord says, why do you keep on worrying about it? Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. The Bible does say you should prepare. You should, even the ant, the Bible says, prepares for winter. And he has no boss over him, the Bible says. Even he has some common sense there, right? But the Lord said, didn't I tell you, don't worry about some of these things you're consumed about. In other words, you shouldn't go to bed getting ulcers, worried about what's going to happen next year, when right now is what matters the most. He said, you ain't even promised next year. You didn't promise tomorrow, he said. He says, listen, he said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, about your body, what you'll put on. Now, we've all done that. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds. I never forget when this revelation hit me, and I may have told you before, it knocked me off my feet. Look at the birds, for they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more value than they are? And it hit me one day. The next time your day's going to pots and ain't nothing happening, ain't no money in the bank, Harley, feels like the world's falling apart, just go outside, grab you a cup of coffee, and find you a bird. And just look at him and think, he's going to eat pretty good today. And tomorrow when you get up, find him again. And you'll see him in the ground over there getting a worm out of the, maybe it's the same guy's kids, grandkids, I don't know, getting a worm out of the ground. And you can go to bed knowing if he takes care of him, he's going to take care of me. The blessings are going to flow in my life. If I just keep on obeying, it'll flow. Which of you worrying, Brad, can add an inch to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow it's thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Here we go. Oh, ye of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles, he's talking about us right now, the Gentiles seek that. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. And here comes, everyone said obedience. Here comes the obedience part. Ready? But seek ye first. Obey me in this way, he said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and the blessing that flows is what? And all these things shall be added unto you. He said, if you'll obey me by going crazy after my kingdom. I told you years ago, God spoke to me and it knocked me off my feet. I was trying to prepare to preach a youth rally and God was dealing with me personally and said, Brad, when you get delivered of your kingdom, my kingdom can come. When you get set free of all of your ideals, all of your stuff, all of your pride, all of your jealousy, all of your anger, all of this, it has to be 1, 2, 3, or it can't be. When you get set free of that, and when you start realizing obedience matters more than what you want to have in the bank this time next year, obedience matters more than what you really want to do. And God said, if you'll just obey me, if you'll just seek my face, if you'll just seek my kingdom, all of these things you've been worried about, in time, in due season, it'll all be added to you. Verse 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You cannot get the blessing of all these things, again, unless you seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus said, notice what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 27. He's speaking to a lady here, and Jesus, as Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave birth and nursed you." And notice what Jesus said. He didn't even deal with that topic. He replied in verse 28 and said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." A sign of maturity in God is saying, if you want my blessings, God is saying, you can't just hear the word, but you have to obey what it says. Lots of folks can quote it, scripture and verse, but they've never learned how to ingest it. They've never learned how to really get it in their spirit. They've never learned how to obey the word. Notice what Jesus said in the middle of John chapter 15. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments. That's the obedient part. If you do this, the blessing is you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That phrase, you will abide in my love, it refers to the idea of remaining or continuing in a close, intimate relationship with Jesus through obedience to his commandments. So what are the commands that Jesus is speaking of? What must we obey in order to abide in his love? And I'll run through these quickly, but what Jesus is speaking of is you have to love God and you have to love others. Jesus emphasized the greatest commandment as loving God with one's heart, soul, and mind, and loving thy neighbor as thyself. The second command that Jesus expects us to do in order to abide in his love is to follow his example. Jesus often urged, encouraged his disciples to follow his example. What did that look like? That is humility, that is servanthood, and that is sacrificial love. Jesus said, if you want to abide in my love, one of the commands is you must have a heart of repentance and faith towards God. You must be one who abides in him, and you do it through obedience. Abiding in his love is not just a passive experience. It involves an active, ongoing commitment to living out the teachings and the values that Jesus has imparted. I'll go through a couple of more and we'll close. Some more blessings that flow to us through obedience. One is found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, beginning in verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. What precious promises has God given us? The most important, and I won't belabor this point, but the most important promise he gave us was the ability. He's given us access to repentance and baptism in his name and the Holy Ghost evidence speaking in tongues through his sacrifice and shed blood on Calvary's hill. That is the most important and greatest promise he ever gave us. And then verse 5 says, for this very reason, here's the obedience part that God is saying, if you obey, blessings are coming. God says, for this very reason, everyone said, make every effort. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. He said, add, everyone said, add to your faith. He said, add to your faith goodness. He said, choose what is right and what is godly instead of sinful or worldly behavior. He said, add to your faith knowledge. Learn God's word and grow in understanding through scripture, through prayer, through teaching. If you get a chance sometimes, study what each of these words mean. I've done this for you, but I encourage you, write it down, study it. It'll get in your spirit. He said, add to your faith temperance. Oh God. He said, practice self-control over desires. Practice self-control over emotions, over your speech, over your actions. He said, you should add to your faith patience. Remain faithful and steady during trials and hardships and waiting seasons. Add to your faith godliness. Live in a way that reflects God's character in your daily life. He said, also add to your faith brotherly kindness. Treat fellow believers with love and care and encouragement and compassion. Add to your faith charity. Show Christ-like love to everybody, even when it requires sacrifice. He said in verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. He said, if you'll do this, if you'll obey what I'm telling you to do, the next part of the verse tells you the blessing. He said, if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is where it knocks in the face. Anyone who's ever said, I just bought my ticket. I obeyed Acts 2:38 and that's all I had to do. That's wrong. I want you to notice something. In order to stay upright on your own two spiritual feet, you have to be a proactive saint. In order to be a proactive saint, you have to be someone who works at it. Now, I know before you quote the verse, well, we're not saved by works. I know we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. I get all of that. But there's also something that God is trying to point you toward, and it's called sanctification. It's called maturing in Christ. And he's saying, there's some things I will not do for you. I'll put my love in you, but I will not take racism from you if you keep on wanting to start speaking that garbage. I can put my love in you, but I won't make you love everybody. You have to somehow get in your spirit, even if you don't like them, you got to love them. Don't you know that heaven is going to be a place where everybody goes? We're not going to have separation in heaven. There won't be segregation in heaven. There won't be this family name. It won't be the Hatfields on that side and the McCoys on that side. Come on, somebody. It's going to be everybody in that city, everybody who's repented, who's been baptized, who received his spirit, and who lived a proactive life of sanctification. Amen. Jesus said, we know that we have come to know him, 1 John 2, if we keep his commands. That's pretty powerful. Some folks think they know him because they speak in tongues. Nope. Some folks think they know him because they have perfect attendance. Nope. Some folks think they know him because they pay tithe and offering. Nope. You should. You should be faithful. I'm all for that stuff. Oh, yeah. But you only know him if you keep his commands. And that's everything. That's all. That's not relegated to what I want to know. I got to keep all of his commands. Then you can start saying stuff like, man, I know him. Verse 4 says, whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, God, it's hard language. He is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. He said, but if you'll do this, if you'll do what I'm telling you to do, but anyone, verse 5, if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Now, in the King James, that phrase is said as, anyone who obeys his word, the love of God is perfected in him. That means, in its original meaning, break it down, the love of God is perfected means that if you'll obey his word, it means that God's love reaches its intended maturity. Not perfection. Remember, we're not perfect till he tells us well done. But if you'll obey his commands, he says the love of God is perfected in you. And that means his love reaches its intended maturity, its completion, and full purpose in a believer when they obey his word. Those are blessings that come through obedience. My last verse tonight is one that's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, in my opinion. We preach a lot from John 8:32, but we don't really hit John 8:31. Jesus said in John 8:31 to the Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." Now, to continue in his word is not just simply reading his word. But to continue in his word, from what I studied, you can study if I'm wrong, come fact check me. But to continue in his word means to abide in his word. That simply means settling down and making your permanent home inside of his teachings. To continue in his word means to remain. That simply means staying rooted in his truth without wandering off to other ideas. To continue in his word means to dwell. It means living daily in the scriptures like a house you never leave. To continue in his word is to hold fast. That means gripping his word so tightly that culture cannot strip it away from you. To continue in his word means to persevere. That means continuing to read and to obey even when it gets difficult. To continue in his word, you can Strong's Concordance and you'll see all these words, okay? To continue in his word means to endure. That means keeping his doctrine alive in your heart across your entire lifespan. And to continue in his word means standing firm, refusing to let false teachings change what you believe. And finally, verse 32 is the blessing of verse 31. And verse 32 says, "And when you do this, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what happens when you start obeying his complete word. So many people come in churches and they're confused. They don't know what they believe. They can't tell you what's up, what's down, what's side to side. I'm going to tell you why. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It simply means this, and hear my heart tonight. It means that you have only continued in his word for a season, maybe, or perhaps you aren't even continuing in his word. Perhaps you have been caught up in the idea that somehow coming to church, shaking hands, is what qualifies you for being right with God. No, that is not what makes you right with God. What makes you right with God is doing the entire book, continuing every day, every second, every minute, every hour. There has to be something on the inside of you that says, "I've got to please him, and I've got to please him alone. I'm not trying to please this culture. I'm not trying to please my family. I'm not trying to please my friends. I want to be free." Amen. Everyone said continue. Let's all stand. In our text tonight, God told Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son. And in obedience, he trusted God to do what he was saying he would do through him. And because of Abraham's obedience, I felt this a couple of days ago, and I want someone to please hear me tonight. Because of Abraham's obedience, the ram was provided on the other side of the mountain. I'll never forget years ago at a funeral, a man named A.L. Starks, he was a powerful preacher. We were talking one night, and he made the comment. At first I ever heard it. It's a very simple idea, but it stuck with me. And that was, he said, "Never forget that while Abraham and Isaac were making their way up the mountain, God had a ram coming up the other side of the mountain. That while they were on their way in obedience, God had a blessing just over the horizon. And I felt this a while ago, a couple of days ago, to tell someone that there is a ram in the thicket. And you hear, what I mean by that is this: if you'll continue marching in obedience, if you'll continue doing what God is telling you to do, as you're marching, as you're walking with the Lord in obedience, not into me, but to His Word, as you're walking with Him, I promise you, God will provide the blessing at the right time, at the right season, and God's going to come through just like He said He would. I mean, that's the blessing that comes through obedience. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for this great church. Help us, I pray, God, to be people who are committed to obeying You, God, at whatever You tell us to do, God. Help us to be people of faith, God. Help us to be people, God, who follow Your footsteps, God. We know that blessings flow through obedience. Help us, I pray, this night, Lord. Bless this church, I pray. Keep Your hands upon us in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Let me say one thing before you dismiss. God will never ask you to do anything that contradicts or goes outside the book. And I've heard some crazy stuff. Well, God told me to do this. No, He didn't tell you to do it if it can't be filtered through this. Amen? But obedience will produce the blessing of the Lord. Amen? Everyone said Sunday? Sunday is graduation Sunday. We have 3 graduates here at our church this year. I'm not making an entire service about that, but we are taking time It's the end of service. We'll have a presentation for them. They'll walk in their gowns. We're excited about this. But we're going to have church on Sunday, okay? So I ask you to come in church mode, not in holiday mode. Amen? Let's have a good move of the Holy Ghost, and then we'll take care at the end of the service. We'll have a great time. Take time for them. We'll honor them. But I ask you to come Sunday expecting God to move in a special way. Amen? Invite somebody to church. We love you. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Praise God.